All right. Exodus 20, verse 15 tonight. Thou shalt not steal. Been preaching through the Ten Commandments on Wednesday night, moved on Sunday night, since I'm preaching again Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. March the 2nd, 1962. It's a historical date for those of you who love NBA basketball. Back in those days, I was a fan, but not anymore. On that date, a player named Wilt Chamberlain, who was over 7 feet tall, scored 100 points in a single game. When the game was over, there was a 14-year-old there, and his name was Kerry Ryman. Kerry came rushing out of the stands onto the court, shook hands with Wilt Chamberlain, grabbed the ball, and hit the exit, outrunning the security guard. I want you to know that on April the 28th, 2000, he sold that ball. And 1962 was the time of the theft. There was a 13-year statute of limitations. So finally, in the year 2000, he turned it over to Leland's auction house, and they sold that ball for $551,844. And here's what he said. He said, I wanted to turn it over to charity, but I decided that I wouldn't know who would control that money in my favorite charity. So I kept it for myself so I would know where it is going. And we like to say crime doesn't pay. I turned on television to watch the news this weekend, and maybe you saw the young man. He's either in the 9th or 10th grade over in the Atlanta metro. He was arrested last week. For the last 3 years, he's been going online posing as Amazon. Over the last 3 years, per year, he has netted $750,000 a year. People have been ordering from him, which he is fake, and he's been taking $750,000 from innocent people every year for the last 3 years. He was interviewed after somebody posted bond for him and asked if he thought he was doing anything wrong. He said, no. I don't see a problem with what I've been doing. One of the major problems in our society now is theft. I read some statistics the other day that said one of every 52 supermarket customers carries away at least one item without paying for it. They went on to say, and the U.S. Commerce Department says that about 4 million people are caught shoplifting every year, but for every person caught, 35 go undetected. One of my jobs in the grocery business used to be to search for shoplifters. I remember one night my manager told me to watch some ladies. Now, back in those days, they didn't put the cigarettes behind a certain counter. They had them out in a big display with a glass on the front. I spotted these two ladies, and they had purses about as big as a suitcase. They were standing behind the cigarette case and loading cartons of cigarettes. They both had about 30 cartons of cigarettes apiece in their purses. My manager forgot all about me, and so they started leaving. I couldn't approach them until they got outside, and when they stepped outside, I walked out behind them. I said, ladies, I believe you have something that's ours. And one of them turned around and pulled a knife. And I said, y'all have a good evening. They don't pay me that kind of money. And I was about 18 years old. You'd be surprised at how people steal. Ladies would come in with maternity dresses with huge V-necks down the front. And they would walk down the meat aisle. And when they came in, they were 3 months pregnant. And by the time they walked to the end of the meat aisle, they had these big pouches sewn on the inside of the V-neck maternity dresses. They were 10 months expecting before they went out the door. It's funny, but that's why prices are so high, because we pay for it. A magazine report told that one New York City hotel that during the course of its first 10 months of operation, 38,000 spoons, 18,000 towels, 355 silver coffee pots, 1,500 silver finger bowls, and 100 Bibles were stolen. And the three commandments are really tied together. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. God is safeguarding issues that are vital to life. Now notice here a simple stealing. A couple of years ago, when we had a Kmart, I remembered some very creative shoplifting. One day, some guys went into our Kmart here on Turner McCall. They started a fire on the detergent aisle. And then they took some shotgun flares and threw them in the fire. And while all that was exploding, and the employees were converging on that, these guys went on the electronics aisle and cleaned them out. In Augusta, Georgia, a friend of ours came home one day to find their guns, their cash, and collectible coins had all been stolen in a burglary. In fact, when they were trying to get away, they dropped some of the cash and the collectible coins in the yard. The Bible teaches that we're to obtain our needs by labor. Ephesians 4:28. Rather let him labor, working with his hands. In the fourth commandment, we find work is ordained by God for man. When you think about it, there are only three ways that we get possessions. We purchase it, or somebody gives it to us, or we steal it from other people. Matthew 26:7, those who are in need of employment are told, go work in my vineyard. God's will for man is work. God's way for man to possess things in life, to labor for them. It's a proper means of gaining. And when one obtains without labor, such as stealing from another, the eighth commandment has been violated. Many have obtained and become the possessors of wealth and things of life through wills and inheritance, love gifts and things like that. Absolutely no problem with that. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, some men are born to own and can animate all their possessions. Others cannot. Their owning is not graceful. It seems to be a compromise of their character. Let's look at some subtle theft. One thing is fraud. When we think about fraud, that would include false advertising, misappropriation of funds. It would also include an employer that does not pay a fair wage. I remember when I worked in a grocery store in Texas. It was a day when almost everybody was writing checks. On a Friday, just in the service desk, we would cash about $30,000 or $40,000 worth of checks. We were just like a bank. But we had one little cashier. She was about this tall, about 18 years old. Man, she was good. Now, this is before the day that you had to scan. You had to punch in the buttons. We had these old Suita registers. NCR worked left to right. Suitas were dyslexic. And what they wanted us to do is touch check. That meant that I looked at the item, it's 39 cents. I don't even look at the cash register. I'm just up there. And boy, she could run that register and make it sing. And the customers loved it. She was so cute. Let me tell you what she was doing. If you came in that day and your groceries were $15 and you wrote a $30 check for it to get some change back, right after she left, she would make that 3 into an 8, stick it in her register, and grab $50 out of there, the difference in 80 and 30. And she could make her register check up to the penny. They caught her one day with a roll of cash bigger than your fist. Fraud. Now notice here, your vocation. Day after day, people steal from their employer. If an employee is paid for 8 hours for work and they only give the employer 7 hours and they take longer lunch hours, or they're out there just killing time, is stealing. Too many employees approach their job with the attitude, how little can I do and how much can I make? You know, I believe trust is necessary for a stable economy, for fair commerce and trade. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, employee dishonesty cost American businesses over $50 billion annually. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that 75% of all employees steal at least once, and half of these steal again and again. And that's just one part. Another is when people embezzle the company. Then there's insurance fraud, there's security fraud, there's Medicaid fraud. The cost is passed on to the consumer. What we have in our country sometimes is not an economic problem, it's a trust problem. I love Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto me, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord. He said, listen, whatever your vocational calling, everything you do is to what? Be done as unto the Lord. And notice another thing, cheating. That's another sophisticated way of stealing. For example, cheating in school. I want you to know that I was reading the other day about copyright laws. People download music and figure out a way to do it without paying for it. There's just all kind of copyright fraud out here where people cheat. I heard about a football player the other day, and I'm not saying that all football players are dumb. That's not what I said here tonight. But there was a football player that the teacher said he just wasn't really smart. Said every time they had a test, he would sit right across the aisle from the Phi Beta Kappa guy in high school, the guy who was just the number one student in that whole class. Teacher accused that football player of cheating. Said, your grades are so good, there's no way you could do this on your own. You don't study. You're just not that smart. He said, no, ma'am, I don't ever cheat. So on the next test, they had 10 questions. And on the 10th question, the Phi Beta Kappa said, he wrote in the slot number 10, he said, I don't know the answer. Football player wrote on there, me neither. Said, I couldn't be cheating. Burglary, robbery, theft of time, failing to give fair value for payment of goods and services. The Bible talks about false weights and measurements. You know, you don't think about this very often, but there's a tear tape balance on the scale in your meat department. I remember years ago when I worked in the grocery business, we had a meat department manager, and every now and then a government inspector would come around and check our scales. You'd be surprised that if a meat market manager does not program that scale to take off the weight of the cellophane and the little styrofoam tray that holds your meat, you'd be surprised at how much profit is in just that little variance. And we had a meat market manager who was showing some great profits. He got checked by a government agent, and guess what? He lost his manager's job over that. Giving poor quality workmanship, price gouging people. My dad was never a price gouger. When he bought us the little push mowers when we were 12 years old, he said, "Now, son, now listen to me." He told my brother and me both. He says, "Don't ever set a price for one of our neighbors. Let them set the price." That was the dumbest thing he ever taught me in my whole life. We got paid $2 for an acre of grass. And then, so you didn't have to worry about us price gouging. And then a repairman tells you, need something fixed. And it's in perfect condition. You don't know that, and you pay for it anyway. You wonder how many times you've been to a mechanic. And I'm not saying all mechanics. We got some great mechanics in our church. But how many times you've been to a mechanic and he says, "We need to replace an oil pump or a water pump." And he replaces it with a rebuilt part and charges you for the price of a new one. Anybody else here ask for a senior discount when you're not actually a senior adult? Anybody mistake you for being underage? What's that all about? I was in Kroger the other day and bought our groceries, and I bought some grape juice, just plain grape juice. And the lady was in a hurry. She's an excellent cashier. She said, "May I see your ID?" I said, "And that be for what?" And she said, I said, "Lady, that's not alcohol." "Oh, I'm so sorry, my mistake." I remember the first time I went through a line and they said, "We're giving you the senior discount today." I was thinking, praise God. I don't know about you, some people get insulted over that. A Barna research group shows this. Born-again teenagers who engaged in at least one type of music piracy in the last 6 months, 77% of born-again teenagers engage in piracy with music. Other teens who engaged in the same activity, 81%. Christian teens who believe getting unauthorized downloads is morally wrong is only 10%. Christian teens who believe it's morally wrong and do it anyway is 60%. Unpaid debt. As believers, we should never walk away from an unpaid debt. We hired a contractor one time, and he filed bankruptcy, not while we had him employed with us. But I want you to know, when he got back on his feet, he went back to one of the suppliers, the lumber suppliers here in Rome, Georgia, and paid him back every dime he owed him. He was not required by the courts. The type of bankruptcy that he filed said that he didn't ever have to pay any of his creditors again. Unpaid taxes, underreporting your income, overstating your deductions. Stealing a person's reputation by slandering them and destroying their name. Shakespeare said, "He who steals my purse steals trash. But he who steals my name makes me poor." Indeed. You're referring to stealing from God. Malachi 3:10-11 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings." It's as if Malachi can't even imagine somebody doing such a thing. But I want you to know that the Bible says, Malachi 3:10, to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Every Sunday morning when we pass the plate, those who don't tithe are committing robbery against God. I love to read Jerry Vine's old sermon. Oh, he could really pitch a fit every now and then. He'd talk about alcohol, that old rot gut. He'd go on about gambling and some other things, and he was waxing eloquently one Sunday morning about tithing. And he got up and said, if you don't tithe, you just don't believe God, you're just robbing God. And he said, I want to tell you something. God's going to get it one way or another. Could be your health. Could be your car breaking down. It could be getting flat tires all the time. He went out to his car and his tire was flat when he started to leave the church. He said he'd never use that illustration again. And then restoration, there are times we must borrow from another. Now, the Bible does not condemn borrowing, but it does classify non-repayment or failing to return what's been borrowing. He said that's stealing. Obligations such as borrowing debt agreements that are not repaid is just a form of stealing. Well, I know we paid our house off. That was a glory, hallelujah, whoop day for us. I went home that night and I said, darling, guess what? She said, let's say it together. We're debt free. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing like getting married and entering into the age of mortgage banking. Delaney always said, I don't want to write that check. It's depressing. Well, what is it for me? And so finally, when I got to the last check, and by the way, I wrote checks. I didn't do the electronic thing. I want to have paper evidence that Wells Fargo can't take any more money from me. And I'm going to tell you, when I wrote my last check, I said, darling, why don't you write this last check? She said, no. She said, you deserve that because you've been writing it all this time. I called Wells Fargo. I got my payout on the thing, and in January I sent the check to the penny. It was recorded right in time. And 3 weeks later they sent me another bill for $1,000. So I called them and they said, Mr. May, we just have a glitch in our computer. She said, now listen, if I'd just been totally dumb, and I'm not real smart, I'd have paid them $1,000 tip. And I thought, if you know you got a glitch in your software, you never have any problems generating the bill with all the interest, and you've done that for years, why are you having trouble when we pay out the last payment and there's a zero balance and you say, I owe $1,000? Mr. May, congratulations. Your mortgage is paid off. I think about old Zacchaeus when Jesus came to him. He came down out of that tree. Somebody wrote in their commentary that he came down so fast. What kind of tree was he in? Sycamore tree. He came down so fast that he took all the bark off that tree, and there's never been bark on a sycamore tree again. Can you imagine Jesus coming and say, I want to have dinner with you. I want to eat dinner with you today. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall to hear Jesus' words to Zacchaeus? We don't know everything that was said, but I do know this. When he repented of his sins, he looked at Jesus and he said, whomever I have cheated, I'm going to go back and pay them four times that amount. I was reading about a funeral the other day in Alexandria, Egypt. this 30-something-year-old young man had been living away from his parents for a while. Now, this was a shocker. His parents and his family were having his funeral. They thought he was dead. He walked up in the graveyard when they were all paying their last respects there at the casket, and he walked in the middle of them, and they were shocked. They said, "You're alive." I said, "Yeah." What had happened is a body has washed up on the shore, and it had decomposed badly. They couldn't get a positive ID on who this was. And in his pocket, they found the wallet of this 30-something-year-old young man and all of his ID. So the authorities had notified this 30-something-year-old young man's family, said, "Your son is dead and decomposed." What had happened was, months before, this young man had been robbed. Somebody stole his wallet. He had drowned at sea. His body had washed up. And all the ID in the wallet was all preserved. And ladies and gentlemen, we talk about sin leading to destruction. It don't always happen that way for the thief. But don't you remember this? Thou shall not steal. We've watered that down in our society. Thou shall not steal. And if you want to maintain your Christian witness, if you owe somebody or some company something, make sure you pay it back. Let's stand together.